Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Colin McShane joins us now, the anchor over at News Nation. You'll watch him at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Hi, Connell. There you are. Happy holidays, sir.
Oh, there I am. Happy holidays to you as well. Good to be on with you.
I'm getting a bong for Christmas. Good news, eh?
That is good news. Yeah. Is this something you've wanted for a long time, I suppose?
No, it's not. And the rescheduling of marijuana by the administration does what? Can you just catch us up a little bit on that?
Well, it doesn't legalize it, right? But it does reclassify it. So I think they call one a Schedule 1 drug, and now It goes to what they call a Schedule 3 drug.
Ketamine.
Basically, exactly, like ketamine or even Tylenol with codeine rather than heroin and LSD. So I think a couple of things. You know, marijuana cannabis industry has become a big business, obviously, over the last number of years. And so you'll get some federal tax relief for some of the cannabis businesses because there's a section of the tax code that gets eliminated when you reclassify. So for the businesses that are in the legal game, I guess it affects their lives. And there's obviously a lot of politics here. I thought it was interesting the president was very careful to say this is not legalization because there are some conservative voices within his own party who have been pushing back a little bit on this.
I think the number of states I saw that have legalized it recreationally, the way we have in Illinois, is 24, which is a lot, but it's still some states are slow to catch on. It seems to me to be inevitable. You know, these things don't have to happen overnight. They don't. But I also think at some point in time, it'll be legal in just about every state but Utah, don't you?
Probably, yeah. That seems to be the direction we're going. I know here in New York City, it's nice around the holiday season to have the all the sleigh bells ringing and the fresh smell of marijuana every time you walk out the building and walk down the street. So that's been a nice change in recent years. I mean, it's almost immediate, especially today. It's a very windy day, so you walk out of the building and here we go.
Can you explain that to me? Because we don't have that with cigarette smoke or cigar smoke or other odors, but it's that way. We were talking about this on our Missing Rascals podcast the other day. If you drive up Lakeshore Drive, you smell it. And I don't understand that phenomenon. It's not like we have a pot smog over the city, but it's very common now, isn't it?
Oh, all the time. I mean, our building's not far from Grand Central Station, the train station here in Midtown Manhattan, so right around there. But it doesn't really matter. Even the neighborhood where I live, you walk down the street, and especially on a windy day. Windy, you say, here we go. Somebody's relaxed here. That's nice. We won't have anybody getting too worked up, at least, around the holiday season. So, yeah, it's just part of the charm.
And your word. And so what the administration has done is not legalize it or legalize it in states where it's not recreationally allowed. It's more an accommodation for the business side. It doesn't free up, say, or expunge the criminal records of people who have had marijuana charges in the past. Do you know the answer to this? Because I've not been in one of those dispensaries or stores. Can I use my credit card there now, or is it still a cash business? Does this change that?
No, I think you can in the states where it's legal. I mean, I've done a couple of stories on it over the years, but it would depend. I'm just doing those off the top of my head. I think on what the individual states' regulations were. For example, I remember doing a story a few years back in Oklahoma because they had marijuana for medicinal use, but it was almost a name only. It was very, very easy to get a medicinal card. I mean, you could say you had anxiety, for example. I'm a little nervous. Okay, here's the card. It became a very big business because of where Oklahoma was located geographically, so close to Texas, where they had more restrictive policies. So a lot of people were driving over to Texas. And when you go into the store, like any other store, you know, all the gummies and all these products that they're selling, people, as far as I know, they were using credit cards. That's one thing I just want to be careful because I don't remember it being all cash, but it seemed like any kind of a normal store as long as you had the card. Now, in other states, of course, where it's recreational, you don't need the card, but it's just a legal business. But I think it depends on the on the state codes and these types of things. So, you know, I also thought the president, I was watching his event on this. It's interesting that he's become the person to kind of move back on this. He, like I said earlier, he was very careful to say that this is not legalization. And if you, you know or read about President Trump, he's very sensitive to the use of any substances. He sometimes jokes, oh, if I drank, imagine what I'd be like. But that's not really a joke for him because his brother was an, you know, who died young, was an alcoholic. And he's very sensitive to the use of these, believe it or not, substances. Sometimes people wouldn't associate someone like him with, you know, because of his personality being that way. But he is. And you could tell. He says, oh, right away, I used to tell my kids, no drugs, don't go near drugs. So it was almost like he was doing this reluctantly. But he was also making the point that he wasn't really going as far as some want towards full-scale federal legalization. This was more of a
business. And he did so with the HHS secretary standing right by his side.
Yeah.
That was on Thursday. He alluded to it Wednesday night in that speech. How persuasive do you think he was in that 18 minutes to ask America for patience and also to believe him that the economy is good or is going to get better? How persuasive do you think he was Wednesday night?
Frankly, I don't think he was persuasive at all. I don't think there would be any minds that would be changed by that. I'd be shocked if there were. Now, if Trump fans are out there that are going to be fans of anything the president says, they're going to cheer him along because they're getting what they want to hear. But, you know, in both tone, tenor, delivery, and substance, I think it was almost like a confusing speech. Like, what's the point? Who thought this was a good idea? Why are you delivering this now? Why are you delivering it the way that you're delivering it? I made the joke. He sounded like he had dinner reservations. Somebody else had another line that I thought was a better line than that. They said he sounded like a guy who was double parked and wanted to get outside before, you know, he got a ticket. But he was clearly rushing through it. You know, he even said, the Pool Report said this afterwards to his chief of staff, hey, how'd I do? And she said, oh, I told you 20 minutes and you hit it right on, you know, hit the nail on the head right at 20 minutes. So I just didn't understand who he was speaking to because he had a much larger audience than he normally does. I mean, he interrupted the Survivor finale right on CBS. So he had a much larger audience than he normally has. People don't pay attention to politics, probably were watching whether they wanted to or not, at least some of them. Who was he speaking to? What was the goal? I didn't get it. There was not much new in the speech. And again, the delivery was off. It wasn't his best setting. I mean, he's better when he's interacting with people or he's speaking at a big rally, you know, and this was neither.
That's an interesting point because when he was campaigning and just riffing, he was magnetic, obviously, to a lot of people. And that's his stage. His reading of a speech is not his strength. Some people can read a speech, but they can't riff on it in front of, you know, 50,000 people. And it was rushed, and he didn't smile. And I thought it was just kind of funny that this is kind of a Christmas time, you know, message, and so much of it was still anger at Joe Biden. And I think if he would have bought himself some time if he could just strip out the criticism of the past regime.
They just want, it seems, at the White House for him to quote unquote stay on message. It's interesting because when Trump came in for the second term, the mantra of this White House, led by Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, who had some interesting comments in that Vanity Fair article earlier in the week as well, but her basic thing, and she talked about this in the article even, is that, hey, I'm not trying to manage the guy. I'm trying to facilitate what he does. And this seemed to me to be a change of course for her. This is not facilitating or putting him in a position. Sometimes you think of a chief of staff, and there's a lot more to it than this, but you think of him like a, you know, like a football coach, put people in the positions where they're going to succeed, that it plays to their strengths. And I don't think they did that the other night. The president, as a political performer, has strengths. There's no doubt about that. And otherwise, he wouldn't have been elected twice, right? So those strengths are what we just talked about, going out and interacting with people, often reporters, going back and forth. He's very good at that in terms of that's what his supporters want to see, and they like him in those settings. And obviously the rallies where he can riff. Yeah. But he gets himself in trouble at the rallies as well, goes off message, says stuff that isn't true, and now they were trying to reel him in. And anytime they've tried to do that, anyone with Trump, it usually doesn't work.
Well, they point to his availability as if that were the same as transparency, and those are not the same thing. Colin McShane, anchor, News Nation. We'll watch him on Comcast and everywhere. It's 2 o'clock Central Time today. Happy holidays, Connell. Thanks for helping us out.
Same to you, John, and enjoy the bung.
That's right. Me and a bong. That's not going to happen.